Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes.
Nice slant route. This is a business decision. You know you're going to take a lump.
And former linebacker, Sean Barber.
There's a thing called street justice. You take care of yours. Yeah. You take care of your family, take care of your chicken, take care of your money.
On your official broadcast partner, the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
What's good, Kansas City? What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building. Players Only is here as we are each and every week, 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays during the Chiefs season. And I got my partner in crime back here. He was out, absent last week. Desmond Moses did an outstanding job, former linebacker. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that show, I thought it was one of our great shows, in part because of the hot take spitfire segment when we talked about ownership in the NFL. But we've been graced with my partner in crime here, Sean Barber, aka Barbershop.
No doubt. Coming in hot, man. I'm excited. I'm all lubed up after being on with C-Dot for a while. But yeah, man, hey man, shout out to Dez Mose, man. Dez, I mean, he held it down last week. I mean, listen, he's always dropping those nuggets. He comes ready so he don't got to get ready.
That's what he said.
Yeah, man. Stay ready. So I ain't got to get ready, man. And hey, man, he lives his life that way, too. That man's a good brother. He does an amazing job on TV, radio, wherever he's at, man. He's just dropping little nuggets. But hey, man, listen, that's a linebacker for you. That's how we hope.
Oh, my gosh. You know I knew that part was coming.
That LBC, baby. That linebacker was coming. Crew.
Yeah, I have a knack of finding linebackers to partner with. And that's Barbershop, a.k.a. Sean Barber. 59. If you follow him on Twitter, I am Danan Hughes. Follow me at DAHughesGuy83 or Danan Hughes on Instagram. And yeah, Desmond did an outstanding job, bro. I appreciate him. We'll probably tap into him again someday when you bail out on me, or maybe I bail out on you and you're going to need Desmond. That'll be a terrible show if you got two linebackers here. No offensive perspective. I think that would probably be the worst show ever. Steven Spector would probably not have us back if we have two linebackers on.
Oh, man. Listen, I tell you, I've done some off-air things with you, whether it was the induction to the Hall of Fame, and then last night me and you had the opportunity to do something for Big Brother's Big Sister. We had Sean and Dana and Chalk Talk on 101. And I get to learn a little bit more about you. Every time we do something off air, your uncle told me about you jumping off the roof, thinking you Superman, putting the blanket or the towel, tying it to your neck and jumping off the roof. And then last night I realized that you forego getting foot surgery, because you thought that when you got drafted, all draft picks made the team. So it was
necessarily. That's part true. I did not get foot surgery before the draft in 1993 because the doctors told me that it would heal on its own. Now, the reason why I was relaxed and allowed the foot to heal and didn't rush back and didn't feel any stress or any anxiety is because I thought that draft picks automatically made the team. Yeah. It actually worked out well for me, so I don't even complain about that, because I know I developed ulcers while I was playing in the NFL. I had stomach problems all throughout my career. So if I would have thought at that time that, oh my gosh, I better hurry up and get on this field with 1.5 legs or 1 foot, I probably would have been in some terrible intestinal problems. So that was actually a blessing that I actually was ignorant enough to think that all draft picks made the team. And I'm appreciative that the Chiefs were patient with me back in the day. If you hadn't heard that story, we'll tackle that another time, but that was our draft stories, and maybe we'll be able to come in, as the draft is here in Kansas City, we'll be able to come in sometime in April and recap our draft experiences and some of the ups and downs and twists and turns of that. Well, we got the text line. Jay Southland Tow Service text line is open. The phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. So make sure you are chiming in. We know there's a lot going on. A big win that we just are coming off of against the Tennessee Titans. One of the two teams I feel like has always been, or at least in recent years, has been that Achilles heel for us. No matter how good we are, it always seems like we get knocked down to pedestrian levels when we play the Colts or when we play the Titans. Yeah. And it was good to see that they were able to grind out a win in that game. And the fashion, I'm sure you were impressed with the first quarter defense and the second half defense and the overtime defense. The second quarter defense, not so much, but it's a win is a win, and an ugly win is better than a pretty loss or a close loss any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't add it up in my head, but if you take those two long runs by King Henry and then the screen play to 85 and you add those up and take it away from the total offense, I think those three plays, would account for over half the offense they got in the entire game. And, I mean, obviously, this game isn't a game of averages. You want to be, you know, if you're a solid defense, you want to be a solid defense on every snap. And that's the standard that you're held yourself by. You can't afford to miss tackles in the open field. You can't afford to miss tackles out on the perimeter. You got to fill gaps. You can't get cut down on the backside. I mean, it's different techniques and things that accounted for all those big runs to go. And it wasn't just one guy. None of those three plays happened because one guy did something wrong. It was a collective two or three guys, and that's what gives up big plays. It's always multiple guys not doing something right on a single play. You can survive one guy because everybody is, pursuing the ball. It's that pack mentality that you have to have on defense. So all in all, man, like you said, I mean, for the three quarters and overtime of this game, I was over the rainbow. I mean, I was thoroughly pleased by what I was seeing on the defensive front and the feel of the linebackers, the coverage on the back end. Some young guys getting some extra snaps and how they keep progressing as a secondary. It's just those three plays. I want to, you know, really examine those three plays and break it down and say, hey, man, these three plays, these three or four guys got to get a little bit better in the way they're pursuing the ball, their angle, their tackling, their wrap up, the finish, all of the things that you constantly harp on as a coach or even as a fan of the game. You just want to see your team go out and perform. And on the defensive side, it's 1 of 11. Every guy is 1 of that 11. And on defense, all 11 guys got to perform.
Yeah, I thought it was eye-opening because when you have those mistakes, tackling on the big tight end that caught the smoke route and took it down the middle of the field in the first drive, and then the big run by Derrick Henry, what I always learned and what I know about this game is, like you said, it's not always just about one person missing an assignment that equates to a big play, but oftentimes it's about the defensive tackle trying to do the defensive end's job, or the linebacker trying to do the safety's job, or the safety trying to do the linebacker's job, and not trusting each other. That's when you get gashed. And I thought they did an outstanding job, and I even said it during the broadcast. I'm in the booth with Mitch. We're calling the game. I said it during the broadcast. As the second quarter was unfolding and things seemed to be a little bit doom and gloom for our defense specifically, I said, I can't wait to see the adjustments that Steve Spagnuolo was going to have at halftime, because I felt like even though the momentum had shifted a little bit, that our halftime adjustments were going to come into play in a huge fashion. The fact that they had 23 plays in the second half, they only gained 38 yards, they had one first down, and the longest play from scrimmage in the second half was 7 yards. That tells you about halftime adjustments and buying into, okay, things didn't go right the first half. Maybe we were over-aggressive. Maybe the crowd noise was a factor because we're on defense and we couldn't hear our calls. Maybe we were just too amped up and our adrenaline forced us to do things. I thought on that big run, Leo Chenal filled the wrong gap. And Nick Bolton came downhill and got pushed out of the way. And if you fill the wrong gap with one linebacker and another linebacker gets pushed out of the way, that opens up the gates, yep. especially against a guy at 6'3", 247 pounds in Derrick Henry and can run a 4.4. But the halftime adjustments to me were key for this defense. And I even mentioned I went into the locker room. If you hadn't had a chance on Odyssey app, you can go in and listen to our broadcast, listen to the post-game interviews. I have the luxury, I have the blessing of being able to go into the locker room right after the game and interviewing players. And I interviewed two or three, and then I leave. And I went to Carlos Dunlap, who I thought had a very solid game. You had to have somebody fill in for the vacated spot of Frank Clark. And I thought Carlos did an outstanding job, not just filling in for Frank Clark now, but filling in for Mike Dana while he was hurt. I don't think he was brought in for that. Never thought that he was probably expected to wear that kind of load on defense. But when I went up to him, I said, did you ever think that Patrick Mahomes would account for over 500 yards of offense, but the story of the game be the defense?
Mm-hmm.
And his face lit up. He started smiling. He started talking. And then if you listen to the interview, Mike Dana, Malik Herring, Derek Nnadi all came over, and now it became a group interview. So I was like, oh, okay, I got the microphone. I'm pointing it in Carlos' face, but now I'm moving it around like it's the Jackson 5 back yeah, at, yeah. you know, Soul Train in Jackson 5, and you're interviewing everybody. And you heard Derek Nnadi and those guys, first down, second down, third down, punt, first down, second down, third down, punt. And they started getting a cheer in the locker room, getting hyped up. And I was like, oh, so that's how it was. They were like, yeah, you know, we took it personal. The first half wasn't the way we wanted it. We knew coming in that we had to stop their run game, and they would be hampered if we did. And because we made that adjustment, it was just like a rally cry for their entire front seven that they were like, yeah, we're taking pride in that we had first down, second down, third down, punt. And they didn't do anything in the second half. And that's very rare in the NFL, but it was really cool to see their excitement. Like, a lot of times you're guarded as a player. You got the cliches and the canned statements that you're going to make. Mm-hmm. But they just kind of let their guard down because they recognized it was a huge win. They recognized that it was a huge defensive display, especially in the second half. So it added some juice to this win, as I mentioned, with the Titans and how they've had somewhat of a stranglehold, winning five of the last six times we played them. I thought it was a great, great display on defense. Offense, Patrick Mahomes. Like, what better way do you want your leader to be the mindset of, okay, things ain't working, I'm just going to take it all on my shoulders. Win, lose, draw, I'm going to take it all on my shoulders. We can't run the ball? Okay, I'll run the ball. Okay, we're going to throw the ball? Okay, I'm going to make some magic and throw it 68 times in the game. And to me, everybody in the Chiefs kingdom, I know when you were on with C-Dot earlier, there's this plea and this burning desire for run game, run game, run game. Although I think a run game, especially as the weather gets cold, can be necessary, what we learned in this game is that we can throw the ball 68 times and win a football game. No other team in the NFL can boast that. None. Josh Allen, I don't care. Aaron Rodgers, no. Tom Brady threw it, 50-something, 60 times against us and still lost by double digits. Like, no other team can now say that they can throw the ball 68 times, drop back 84 times.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the ball 68 times of those 84 dropbacks and win a football game. I think that's something that we can hang our hat on. It's not something that we should be harping on as a negative to our running game. It's the fact that we are a team that can win football games in different ways.
Yeah, and the fact that those two things can happen in the same game and you still come out victorious shows you that there is no one way to skin a cat. There's not one way to win a ball game. Everybody's talking about this. I mean, I want to see this balance. I want to see the X, Y, and Z. It's week 10. Who cares? Like, at the end of the day, why are fans even caring how we are winning ball games as long as we're winning ball games? And how? And then when you talk about wins and losses, all you want to do is be playing sound football, offensively, defensively, and special teams. When it gets to weeks 15, 16, 17, and 18. When it gets to those weeks, you want to be playing on all cylinders. You want your team to be healthy as can be. As you prepare to go into playoff football, which is that almost that third season, you got the preseason, the regular season, and postseason.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When you get into that third season, then that's when it's either win or go home. And that's what we need to be focused on.
All right, so we're going to pack that game up. We got one, that was one of the next 10 games that we have to play straight. We had our bye week. But when we come back, we got the spitfire, hot fire, fire takes. And I think we got a couple of doozies. Stick with us.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My name is D-Nice. They're taking out your something and you don't know how I did it, yo.
Bono looking to pass the football. Goes up the middle. Pass is cut. Touchdown, Kansas City. Touchdown, Chiefs. Touchdown, Chiefs. Danan Hughes took the bullet over the middle from Steve Bono.
First and 10 for the Chiefs at the 14 of the Steelers.
Marcus Allen, right side. Touchdown, Kansas City! Danan Hughes from Marcus Allen!
Expert analysis, news, and views from Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
This so-called number one defense in the NFL that hadn't played anybody during the last part of the season, and we showed who was the best team on this field and deserved to host another AFC championship for 4 straight years.
But you can call it D-Nice.
You don't know how I did it. And we're back. You got Barbershop standing up like he's actually D-Nice. Kid Capri.
Yeah, I had the 808 over here.
You had the TR-808 over there.
Shout out to my man Biz Markie. Rest in peace, my man Biz Markie.
Rest in peace, the Biz.
I was hitting you with the Biz, bro.
There you go. I like the energy.
Yeah.
All right, we got the Jay Southland Tow Service text line still open. The phone line's open. Dan, we will get to you in quarter three of the show. 913-586-7610. But you know what segment it is. Barbershop, I'm going to give you honors. I don't say that very often, but I'm going to give you honors right now on the hot fire take. Give it to me.
Well, let's go, man. At the end of the day, man, I just like to let me give a shout out to Kansas City. Let me give a shout out to Johnson and Jackson County for the fact that we have never gotten to a situation where we actually have to sue the team. Unfortunately, I've been a part of a franchise that is now being legally attacked by their own fan base, the AD. Is suing the Commanders for the product they're putting on the field, for saying that they was lied to, that they were, you know, run
bamboozled.
Amok, bamboozled.
Led astray. Run amok.
It's sad, man. A quick Google about the Commanders and what's going on with them and their president, throwing a player who got shot under his situation, trying to use that as a human shield to protect you because the district attorney, the DA, is about to release some statements about the team. I've never seen a team sink so low, but it's just the nature of the beast. I guess, I mean, it's a multi-million, multi-billion dollar company. And at this point from top down, you know, you talk about draining the swamp. But when you drain the swamp, you get left laying with a bunch of alligators.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on with the Commanders right now, man. They drain the swamp all right. They're trying to forced the owner out, and you're seeing the underbelly of what exactly this organization, the lows they can get to. And I'm just so proud of the Chiefs organization, the Hunt
definitely
family.
Makes us feel good about where we are now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And from general manager to general manager, I mean, after Peterson and Pioli, and now, you know, with Dorsey coming in, and now with Brett Veach, it's just been such a – it's been run the right way. High class. They treat men like men, and it's good to see it, and it's a breath of fresh air to see there's organizations still doing it the right way. So shout out to the organization at One Arrowhead Drive. Just keep your head up and keep doing things the right way.
Yeah, I think we should. Oftentimes we get caught in the X's and O's and W's and L's and all that's happening on the field, when there's times where we should reflect that not only are we not other organizations, but we are the top echelon of all organizations. Regardless of how many Super Bowl trophies or what have you, that this is still a destination. There are people that save their money all year long to be able to come and experience a game at Arrowhead Stadium. And those are the people that are out of town, never mind the people that are here. So we should definitely be proud of that. And when you see things that are going on with the Commanders and the Raiders and other teams that have had to sell, and organizations that have had drama and dysfunction, it should make us more proud that we are in the Chiefs' kingdom, and we have great ownership and an outstanding led team and organization with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to give you that fire. We're going to give you that fire, Barbershop, for you spitting that fire.
You talk and do that nasty thing.
All right. So, all right, my spitfire here, Julio. Barbershop, I'm going to go to what's happening in the NFL, specifically with one of the teams that is an Achilles heel, like I talked about earlier in the first segment, the Indianapolis Colts. Jeff Saturday, being named the head coach of that organization, is an atrocity. It is a slap in the face to all organizations, to all coaches, black, white, Hispanic, or whomever, that have been in the grind, that have climbed their way up from being unpaid interns and GAs and all kind of backdoor positions where they're just grinding, evaluating tape and scouting and all of that. And coaches that have bounced around, families that, you know, their spouses and their kids are secure and set in different states, but they've had to bounce around for their jobs and trying to climb that ladder, to have somebody come off of ESPN, good dude by all accounts, solid dude, solid leader as a player, but it's a slap in the face, and it just shows you, again, kind of ties into what Barbershop said, dysfunctional organizations doing dysfunctional things, but this one takes the cake because it shows how hollow and ownership can be in regards to what's been going on. You think about the Miami Dolphins coach last year. What's my man's name? That went to the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
That was the head coach that had the racism and all the, you know, the Flores. Yeah, Flores was the coach. And he had the recordings. He had the conversations and all of the things that forced him out of Miami, and how he felt like the he was behind the eight ball from the beginning, and the team was basically strategizing for his demise, and how there's been black coaches and other coaches that have had cups of coffee as head coaches and never got a chance again, white coaches that have had the same, and then you as an organization amidst all of that and an ownership says, screw everything, all of that. I'm going to do what I feel comfortable with right now. And before the text line hits me and says, you own something, you should be able to do it, I always say, Barbershop, things don't get real until they get personal. And a lot of times we can spew out stupid stuff and ignorant stuff because it's football and because it's a game and what you want to consider as less than what you're doing. But put yourself in that position working for your companies, working for your organizations, and your owner comes in and says, you know what? I have a really good relationship with the custodian. And I feel like we just fired our CEO or our VP. And because I have a good relationship with him, I'm going to elevate him to lead you guys, whether it's interim or not. And that be the case. tell me on a text line or what have you that that would not be something, whether you get pissed off or not, that would not be something that you would feel a little bit slighted by. Just a little bit slighted by, never mind on a major level, if you were one of those guys that were second or third or fourth in charge. Reggie Wayne, a Hall of Famer, is a wide receiver coach there, grinding as a Hall of Famer. Would love to have the opportunity to put on his resume that he was an interim coach, and you went to a guy that is on your Ring of Honor and was an analyst on TV to take over an organization with no history, no coaching on his resume. To me, it's a travesty. It goes along with what you said, Barbershop, in regards to the class that we are amidst, but it also tells you about the dysfunction that goes on around in this industry, just like others. So that is my fire take. What you got, Julio?
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, number 83. Number 83, because of his actions, has disqualified himself from further participation.
Dang, I got disqualified? Got fired on my day off. That ain't right. Well, when we come back, that's the end of the second quarter. We still got the text line, phone lines open. Dan, we're going to get to you next after halftime. 913-586-7610. That's our Hot Fire Takes. Let's get to it.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And he gets buried. He gets destroyed by Sean Barber.
Y'all better get ready to rumble.
Y'all better get ready to rumble.
Spicy like gumbo.
Maddox throws over the middle. Intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Sean Barber.
You really better miss theme music.
That mystical. I'm bringing that Nylons out me.
There you go. There you go, Barbershop. Mm. Before we get to the text line, you got something to add on to my fire take, regardless of what Julio gave as far as me getting ejected. What you got to add on to the Jeff Saturday Indianapolis Colts situation real
quick? Hey, man, listen, you can call it how you want. I'm a mathematician about this. They got 24 coaches on staff.
24.
That add up to 432 years of experience.
What'd you say, 400?
400.
All right.
432 years of experience are in the building already, and you going to go to Football America. What is it? Morning football. Good morning football.
No. Get up.
Oh, get up. You're going to get up to find yourself the next coach. Man, get.
How big of a slap in the face is that?
Get out of here.
Well, 472 years combined experience in the building, already serving on the coaching staff, two ex-head coaches on the staff, and you go to get up and get your Ring of Honor center to be the head coach, not an advisor, a head coach of your organization for the rest of the season.
Mm.
A travesty. All right, we got the phone lines open. Remember, 913-586-7610. We got Dan. Dan, you've been waiting. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Time's yours.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Sean. Yeah, the defense was lights out in the second half, holding Derrick Henry to no yards, and they did a pretty good job on Malik Willis in the second half. How about Mahomes with a game-tying touchdown? He sees the whole field. If he's going to get that hole, he's going to exploit it, you know? And I think that the rushing will come together, Dan, and it just I believe in these guys. I believe in Edwards-Helaire and Jared McKinnon. He should get more carries. You know, I can't understand that. I don't know. I think Andy, he's trying to get him involved in a running game, but it'll come together. So anyway, great game. And what do you think of Josh Allen? Do you think he'll play this Sunday? Let's take care of the Jaguars. Take care of yourself, guys.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We appreciate you. I think Josh Allen will play.
Woo!
I think it's going to take a lot to get him off the field. Dan, we appreciate the energy. Like I said, he's like a Red Bull with a five-hour chaser right in the middle of the show. Exactly what you need to carry you home. So we appreciate that. We got Big T from Shawnee. What's going on, brother?
Time's yours.
Hey, you guys. Appreciate you talking to two of my favorite players, Dana Hughes and Sean the Barbershop. Hell yeah.
Like Big T, my man. What's going on?
I love you guys. Hey, man, I love you guys' perspective. Dan hit the nail on the head. That defense carried that team. Way to go, defense. Way to kick ass and take names. King Henry was more like Queen Henry in the second half. And I tell you what, I love that you touched on the Washington modes. It's nice to have an organization like the Kansas City Chiefs that their feet are cemented in history. They treat their players fine. They treat their fans fine. And you guys both played for them. You've been in the locker rooms. You know how the Kansas City Chiefs roll. So way to go, Big Red. Way to go, Clark Hunt. Way to go, Beach. Way to go, players. And Patrick Mahomes, he was a beast. He's the MVP. Everybody just needs to shut up. They want to anoint Buffalo and Josh Allen the championship and the first-round seed and the MVP 7 weeks in prior to the season. No, it's not Buffalo. It's not Minnesota. It's not Chargers and Baltimore and Miami and Minnesota and Philly. You guys are still puppies learning how to grow. You're all eating puppy chow.
Tell them, Big
T. The Chiefs are the big dogs on the porch. And let's go out and beat them Jags. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Choo-choo!
Appreciate you, Big T. Appreciate the energy as well. We got one more call, then we'll try to tackle some of these texts. J-Rock, what you got?
Time's yours.
Time's yours.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
J-Rock, what's
chilling,
up,
man? We chilling.
Yes, sir. You know it. Hey, great game by the guys, man. I want to give much props to the defense and to Mahomes. Defense first, man. They stepped up, especially in the second half. I know we're playing against a rookie quarterback. He's going to be – eventually he's going to get his due. He's going to be firing here in a couple years, just not against our Chiefs. But I just love the pass rush. I love Saunders. He's going at it. That D-line, some weeks they're good, some weeks they're bad. But all together, they're holding up the season for us. Mahomes, he's starting to get more confident with his feet. When he's not seeing anything down the field, he's taking off. I love it. I love to open up a whole other dimension for Mahomes. Even though he's been running the ball, it's like now, just like we played Titans last year, he didn't do that much last year, I don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's ready to take off. If it's not there, he's taking off. And I love it. He knows how to get down. He knows how to slide. I hate to say it, but offensive line, to me, they're not looking up to par. So it's kind of put a little more stress on Mahomes. But overall, with the new receivers and Mahomes being confident in himself, man, I think we're going to do the thing this year again, fellas.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, J-Rock. Definitely keep calling in. We appreciate the input. Yeah, I think they could have played better, but I think you got to give your flowers to the defense because that's a load to have to deal with. And Derrick Henry and a mobile quarterback on top of that, I think the Tennessee Titans put them behind the eight ball severely because they hampered, or I say constricted, what Malik Willis was going to do in the passing game. And we took advantage of that in the second half. We recognized the tendencies and was able to tighten the screws against the Titans. To the text line, Barbershop, I will say, as I first came in the booth, you must have poked the bear in that last segment again with Carrington, because there's a few from the 816, Barber sucks, why you guys have Barber on? He makes me like Carrington more, but all these different. I was like, dang, I came in here. It must have been a little testy,
yeah, man,
beforehand. But I feel like you was probably spitting some knowledge that just wasn't popular.
Of course. I mean, at the end of the day, man, everybody wants to just jump on the bandwagon of what we should be doing as far as the running game and what we should be doing as far as how many times we should rush the ball and to create some more balance and all that kind of stuff. And, again, other teams that – run the ball 20 sometimes a game or maybe have a 35-25 split. Unfortunately, fortunate for us, they don't have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
So having Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position almost requires that you allow him to throw the ball 75-85% of the ball, because the talent that he has, what he can create with his arm, you're talking about getting 15-yard chunks, 25-yard chunks. Sometimes if a team doesn't play right, the big bomb goes downfield. Giving the ball to a running back and letting the defense
in this offense
4 or 5 yards to carry. If I'm the defense against Patrick, every time you hand it off, it's a win.
Yeah,
like we've avoided. We you know Matrix, when you see Neo, he dodges all those bullets.
Yeah,
all of those bullets are Pat Mahomes passing the ball, and every time you do that and go into the Matrix, they just dodge it. And it's like, man, we still ain't got this. We gave the ball. We averaging 7 yards a carry. We've churned out, you know, 170 yards of rushing. Well, we got 14 points. Well, Pat can score 14 points in two drives in 10 attempts.
Yeah.
So the effectiveness of the passing game going vertical, you're talking about breaking a defensive's back. Man, scoring points, going vertical, having all the right answers and still giving up a first down because now he rushes the ball, runs the ball for a first down, or a receiver makes an outstanding catch like Noah Gray did, or you make the right call and then Juju breaks a tackle and goes for a touchdown, or you know.
Here's the point that I would make on that. Who's the best player on the field?
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's Patrick Mahomes.
So every time Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the ball in his hands, does the best player on the field have the ball? No. So every time you run the ball, not saying that we shouldn't,
yeah,
but for all the people that say we should have this established run game and it's going to bite us and all this and that, ultimately what you are saying is that this team would be better served by the ball not being in the best player's hands as often as it was. And to me, that's an argument that can be made, but when you have the best player in your hands, I think you go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You go down with that best player, win, lose, whatever happens, your best player has the ball, and I'd rather have that than the opposite.
Golden State, right?
You want Steph Curry.
Hey, win, lose, or draw, I want you shooting that three. When you open, hey, man, release that. I've seen it too much.
Pass half court from the hashes, falling out of bounds.
Well,
I still want that shot.
Fundamentally, we should go in through Draymond, and we should run the triangle up. No, man, you got an elite three-point shooter just daggering. He got daggers.
Yep, right? I agree. All right, so for the 913, do you guys feel like I do that the Chiefs feel like they are wasting a down when they run on first down or no gain? Yeah, I think we kind of answered that just there. Fellas, from the 970, do you consider this game a trap game? Give me your take on it. I personally do. Okay, so I feel like in any normal season, it could be a trap game, but I think we already had our trap game in the Colts, and I think we learned from that. If you go back over the past years, recent years specifically, there's always been that one game that was the wake-up call.
For every team,
and specifically us. You can go back to last year, the embarrassment down in Nashville against the Titans. You can go back to the Super Bowl year when we lost two home games against the Colts and the Texans.
Yeah.
And
year before that, we lost to both of the New York team, right? Lost to the Jets and the Giants.
Yep.
I mean, when they were both, you know, subpar teams.
So there's always a wake-up game. So I can't contribute this. If we were coming into this game 7-1, only losing to the Bills, then maybe I'd be more concerned. But I think we got the reality check when we went to Indianapolis and lost to the Colts, a team that we probably beat 99 out of 100 times. It was just happened to be that one time. All right, bro, from the 816. Danon, I didn't know you were the Frank Clark of the 1990s. I don't know what that means, but I feel like you're trying to slide.
He's talking about your stomach issues, man.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah,
he's
man.
He's talking about you had the.
I was the original, I guess.
Your GI track was
shoot,
off.
Bro, let me tell you, I was in the fetal position nights before the games, laying in the locker room before kickoff, drinking Sprite, trying to take stomach pills. And, you know, I'm surprised I didn't poop myself on the field. It was more cramps, though. It wasn't like I had diarrhea or anything like that. I think I'm getting too far into it right now. But, yeah, I had them stomach pains in the past. But we appreciate the text line. Appreciate the callers. We got the fourth quarter of the show coming up, and we got to talk about these Jaguars. Chiefs ready?
Diarrhea Danon.
We'll be back. We'll talk about it when we come back.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This is how we do it.
Yes, this is how we do it. Players Only, the fourth quarter show. We got a few minutes left. Thank you to the texters as well as the callers that came in. Barbershop is still here. I am here. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and we got to talk about this upcoming game, the Jaguars. 3-6 Jaguars, looking better than they were when they had Urban Meyer. Still not necessarily a great football team, but as we mentioned in the last segment, anything can happen on any given Sunday, just like it did a few weeks ago when we went up to Indianapolis. Here's a key point, and I'm sure it's on the text line as well, is the difference. And I go back to my days when the question comes up and people think at this point, when you have a bad football team coming in, do you prepare differently? Are you coached differently? What's the dynamic of that? Now, I can only speak from my experience, and I think that's part of the the cachet of our show here is that we're speaking from our perspective and oftentimes from our experience. We played some bad teams in the 90s. But I can honestly tell the fan base here and the listeners that we never prepared differently. Now, I will say, if we prepared differently, Shop, there were times when Marty would have us go through half of a practice, act like we were doing stuff wrong, and start the whole practice off.
Yeah.
Over. Start from stretch, not from the drill.
Period.
Like,
one.
Act like you just came onto the field.
Yep.
Y'all look like dog crap right now. We're going to, y'all not taking this seriously. We're going to start it all over again. Get in your opening jog, get back in the stretching lines. We're starting from the beginning.
Yeah, you waste my time, I'm going to waste your time.
Yeah. Now, whether that was a ploy, I feel like there were times where he already had that in mind before he got on the field. There was nothing that we was going to be able to do to change that. It was maybe something. Coaches have that way.
They're human. He got a bad day.
Yeah. You know, but coaches have that way. They want to make sure that you're refocused.
Yeah.
I can't say that definitely happened, and a lot of my former teammates can attest, it at least happened 3 times a year. Now, whether it happened in front of bad teams or against the Raiders where we were coming up or after a loss, I can't remember that far. But there are ways that coaches incentivize players. I was over at the stadium today, press conference, talking with coaches, et cetera. And, you know, EB and Coach Spags and those guys and Dave Tobe, they're aware of the Jaguars. Their conversation with me was, about how you doing, Danon, blah, blah, blah. But then they quickly got into, okay, they got some dudes over there. They got some guys on their defensive side, their special teams, the kick returner, all these different things. Jamal Agnew, the kick returner, was a Pro Bowler in the past.
Yeah.
Like, they are focused on this team, so it's no let up. You don't think as a player that this team is not as good as us, because those are the ones that jump up and beat you. And in the NFL, the margin is so slim between good teams, great teams, and bad teams. That you cannot afford to overlook anybody.
Well, we got first round picks on the both sides of the ball. We know Josh Allen was a larottery pick. We know Lawrence, the quarterback.
Josh Allen, the linebacker.
Yeah, was a lottery pick. Obviously, I mean, he was somebody we were even trying to acquire because I mean, so we can't say a guy is not good 1 week and then the week we playing him. I mean, we know he good because we were trying to get him to be one of on our team. So obviously we must really respect the guy and think he's good. Coach Joe Cullen coached him, a few seasons ago and everything when he was at Jacksonville. So he knows what kind of talent they got on that defensive front. On the offensive side of the ball, Etienne, man.
Running back, the last three games over 100 yards rushing.
I mean, explosive. I mean, he's basically a modern-day Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush. That's what he's looking like now in the league, now that he's healthy. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, who was basically Andrew Luck of the last decade or whatever. So, they got capable players. They got guys that can do a lot of good things. You got to keep losing teams losing. And if a team comes in with a 3-6 record – what their record says, they are a losing team, but that doesn't mean that they play losing football. That don't mean that they give any less effort and they don't want to get a win. They're going to come in here and just lay down because it's Arrowhead. No, everybody that comes to Arrowhead knows that if you don't play your best ball, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and his offense will put 40 up on you, and nobody wants to be embarrassed like that. If you don't put up your best offensive effort, our defense will do what we did against the Tennessee Titans, keep you to 37 some yards in the second half, and no offense won. Like, those guys got job, they got pride, respect. They go out there and practice hard and get on the plane and prepare to come in and try to win a ball game. So there's no room to be letting up on. It's a farce. The whole trap game and. Listen, maybe in high school, maybe in college, depending on what program, Michigan versus App State, maybe they, that's a trap game because Michigan really wants to get ready for Ohio State, so the game before. In the pros, it's 53 professionals on that other team.
Grown men with families.
Grown men. The second you let up one inch, one millisecond, your year can be over.
Yep.
So it ain't no – It just doesn't happen. So,
So I will say this: the Jaguars, they have outscored their opponents 49-21 in the first quarter. of their game. So they are best early. So we have to stop them early. The Chiefs had 6 drops in the last game. We got to be better securing the football. Not sure we'll throw the ball 68 times. And we got to beat teams that you're supposed to beat. Marty Schottenheimer used to tell us, win games at home, win games in your division, and beat who you're supposed to beat, and you will be playing in January and in playoffs and have an opportunity for a Super Bowl run. With that being said, that is our show this evening, Barbershop. For Barbershop and for me, we are out. We'll see you next week, hopefully after another win and an 8-2 start for this Chiefs team. Peace.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody wants to just jump on the bandwagon of what we should be doing as far as the running game and what we should be doing as far as how many times we should rush the ball and to create some more balance and all that kind of stuff. And again, other teams that run the ball 20 sometimes a game or maybe have a 35-25 split, unfortunately, fortunate for us, they don't have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
So having Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position almost requires that you allow him to throw the ball 75-85% of the ball, because the talent that he has, what he can create with his arm, you're talking about getting 15-yard chunks, 25-yard chunks. Sometimes if a team doesn't play right, the big bomb goes downfield. Giving the ball to a running back and letting the defense
in this offense
4 or 5 yards to carry. If I'm the defense against Patrick, every time you hand it off, it's a win.
Yeah,
like we've avoided. We you know Matrix, when you see Neo, he dodges all those bullets.
Yeah,
all of those bullets are Pat Mahomes passing the ball, and every time you do that and get into the Matrix, they just dodge it. And it's like, man, we still ain't got this. We gave the ball. We averaging 7 yards a carry. We've churned out, 170 yards of rushing. Well, we got 14 points. Well, Pat can score 14 points in 2 drives in 10 attempts.
Yeah.
So the effectiveness of the passing game going vertical, you're talking about breaking a defensive's back. It's scoring points, going vertical, having all the right answers and still giving up a first down because now he rushes the ball, runs the ball for a first down, or a receiver makes an outstanding catch like Noah Gray did, or you make the right call and then Juju breaks a tackle and goes for a touchdown. Here's the
point that I would make on that. Who's the best player on the field?
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's Patrick Mahomes.
So every time Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the ball in his hands, does the best player on the field have the ball? No. So every time you run the ball, not saying that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But for all the people that say we should have this established run game and it's going to bite us and all this and that, ultimately what you are saying is that this team would be better served by the ball not being in the best player's hands as often as it was. And to me, that's an argument that can be made. But when you have the best player in your hands, I think you go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You go down with that best player, win, lose, whatever happens, your best player has the ball, and I'd rather have that than the opposite.
Golden State, right?
You want Steph Curry.
Hey, win, lose, or draw, I want you shooting that 3. When you open, hey, man, release that. I've seen it too much.
Pass half court from the hashes, falling out of bounds.
Well,
I still want that shot.
Fundamentally, we should go in through Draymond, and we should run the triangle up. No, man, you got an elite 3-point shooter, this daggering. He got daggers.
Yep. Right? I agree. All right. So for the 913, do you guys feel like I do that the Chiefs feel like they are wasting a down when they run on first down or no gain? Yeah, I think we kind of answered that just there. You Fellas, from the 970, do you consider this game a trap game? Give me your take on it. I personally do. Okay, so I feel like in any normal season, it could be a trap game, but I think we already had our trap game in the Colts, and I think we learned from that. If you go back over the past years, recent years specifically, there's always been that one game that was the wake-up call.
For every team,
and specifically us. You can go back to last year, the embarrassment down in Nashville against the Titans. You can go back to the Super Bowl year when we lost two home games against the Colts and the Texans.
Yeah.
And
year before that, we lost to both of the New York team, right? Lost to the Jets and the Giants.
Yep.
I mean, when they were both, you know, subpar teams.
So there's always a wake-up game. So I can't contribute this. If we were coming into this game 7-1, only losing to the Bills, then maybe I'd be more concerned. But I think we got the reality check when we went to Indianapolis and lost to the Colts, a team that we probably beat 99 out of 100 times. It was just happened to be that one time. All right, bro, from the 816. Danon, I didn't know you were the Frank Clark of the 1990s. I don't know what that means, but I feel like you're trying to slide.
He's talking about your stomach issues, man.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah,
he's talking about you had the.
I was the original, I guess.
GI, your GI track was
off. Shoot, bro. Let me tell you, I was in the fetal position nights before the games, laying in the locker room before kickoff, drinking Sprite, trying to take stomach pills. And, you know, I'm surprised I didn't poop myself on the field. It was more cramps, though. It wasn't like I had diarrhea or anything like that. I think I'm getting too far into it right now. But, yeah, I had them stomach pains in the past. But we appreciate the text line. Appreciate the callers. We got the fourth quarter of the show coming up, and we got to talk about these Jaguars. Chiefs ready?
Diarrhea Danon.
We'll be back. We'll talk about it when we come back.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This is how we do it.
Yes, this is how we do it. Players Only, the fourth quarter show. We got a few minutes left. Thank you to the texters as well as the callers that came in. Barbershop is still here. I am here. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and we got to talk about this upcoming game, the Jaguars. 3-6 Jaguars, looking better than they were when they had Urban Meyer. Still not necessarily a great football team, but as we mentioned in the last segment, anything can happen on any given Sunday, just like it did a few weeks ago when we went up to Indianapolis. Here's a key point, and I'm sure it's on the text line as well, is the difference. And I go back to my days when the question comes up and people think at this point, when you have a bad football team coming in, do you prepare differently? Are you coached differently? What's the dynamic of that? Now, I can only speak from my experience, and I think that's part of the cachet of our show here, is that we're speaking from our perspective and oftentimes from our experience. We played some bad teams in the 90s. But I can honestly tell the fan base here and the listeners that we never prepared differently. Now, I will say, if we prepared differently, Shop, there were times when Marty would have us go through half of a practice, act like we were doing stuff wrong, and start the whole practice off.
Yeah.
Over. Start from stretch, not from the drill.
Period.
Like,
one.
Act like you just came onto the field.
Yep.
Y'all look like dog crap right now. Y'all not taking this seriously. We're gonna start it all over again. Get in your opening jog. Get back in the stretching lines. We're starting from the beginning.
Yeah, you waste my time, I'm gonna waste your time.
Yeah. Now, whether that was a ploy, I feel like there were times where he already had that in mind before he got on the field. There was nothing that we was gonna be able to do to change that. It was maybe something. Coaches have that way.
They're human. He got a bad day.
Yeah. You know, but coaches have that way. They want to make sure that you're refocused.
Yeah.
I can't say that definitely happened, and a lot of my former teammates can attest, it at least happened 3 times a year. Now, whether it happened in front of bad teams or against the Raiders where we're coming up or after a loss, I can't remember that far. But there are ways that coaches incentivize players. I was over at the stadium today, press conference, talking with coaches, et cetera. And, you know, EB and Coach Spags and those guys, and Dave Tobe, they're aware of the Jaguars. Their conversation with me was, yeah, about hey, how you doing, Danen, blah, blah, blah. But then they quickly got into, okay, they got some dudes over there. They got some guys on their defensive side, their special teams, the kick returner, all these different things. Jamal Agnew is the kick returner, was a Pro Bowler in the past.
Yeah.
Like, they are focused on this team, so it's no let up. You don't think as a player that this team is not as good as us, because those are the ones that jump up and beat you. And in the NFL, the margin is so slim between good teams, great teams, and bad teams that you cannot afford to overlook anybody.
Well, we got first-round picks on the both sides of the ball. We know Josh Allen was a lottery pick. We know Lawrence, the quarterback.
Josh Allen, the linebacker.
Yeah, was a lottery pick. Obviously, I mean, he was somebody we were even trying to acquire because, I mean, so we can't say a guy is not good 1 week and then the week we playing him. I mean, we know he good because we were trying to get him to be one of on our team. So obviously we must really respect the guy and think he's good. Coach Joe Cullen coached him. A few seasons ago and everything when he was at Jacksonville. So he knows what kind of talent they got on that defensive front. On the offensive side of the ball, Etienne,
running back, the last three games over 100 yards rushing.
I mean, explosive. I mean, he's basically a modern-day Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush. That's what he's looking like now in the league now that he's healthy. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, who was basically Andrew Luck of the, last – decade or whatever. So they got capable players. They got guys that can do a lot of good things. You got to keep losing teams losing. And if a team comes in with a 3-6 record, what their record says, they are a losing team. But that doesn't mean that they play losing football. That don't mean that they give any less effort and they don't want to get a win. They're going to come in here and just lay down because it's Arrowhead. No, everybody that comes to Arrowhead knows that if you don't play your best ball, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and his offense will put 40 up on you, and nobody wants to be embarrassed like that. If you don't put up your best offensive effort, our defense will do what we did against the Tennessee Titans, keep you to 37 some yards in the second half, and no offense won. Like, those guys got job, they got pride, respect, they go out there and practice hard and get on the plane and prepare to come in and try to win a ball game. So there's no room to be letting up on it's a farce, the whole trap game. And listen, maybe in high school, maybe in college, depending on what program, you know, Michigan versus App State, maybe they, that's a trap game because Michigan really wants to get ready for Ohio State, so the game before. In the pros, it's 53 professionals on that other team.
Grown men with families.
Grown men. The second you let up one inch, one millisecond, your year can be over.
Yep.
So it ain't no – That just doesn't happen. So
yeah. So I will say this. The Jaguars, they have outscored their opponents 49-21 in the first quarter of their game. So they are best early. So we have to stop them early. The Chiefs had 6 drops in the last game. We got to be better securing the football. Not sure we'll throw the ball 68 times. And we got to beat teams that you're supposed to beat. Marty Schottenheimer used to tell us, win games at home. Win games in your division and beat who you're supposed to beat, and you will be playing in January and in playoffs and have an opportunity for a Super Bowl run. With that being said, that is our show this evening, Barbershop. For Barbershop and for me, we are out. We'll see you next week, hopefully after another win and an 8-2 start for this Chiefs team. Peace.
Is Players Only with Danen Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.